Rural Focus around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Hello. Yes, here we go. Another Rural Focus podcast. Of course, looking at everything that is agriculture and agribusiness issues affecting rural communities, not just here in regional WA, but across Australia. And on today's podcast, tell you what, we've got plenty to get through for you today. On the way, how much sleep are you getting? Are you getting enough sleep? Is too much sleep good or bad for us? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to catch up with Tom from Regional Men's Health, especially with harvest going on. Hopefully you're getting a bit of shut-eye, but we'll find out a little bit more during today's podcast when we catch up with Tom very soon. We'll catch up with the great man, Dan, from Sunwise Energy. But right now, time to catch up with Steve Harris from West Coast Livestock. Hello there to you, Steve, mate. Things going A-OK yesterday, part of the Mount Barker cattle sale.
Yeah, Troy, again, very good. The cattle market continues to show really good signs right the way across all categories. So West Coast Livestock Report, all agents yarded 1,953 head of cattle, up 314 on last week. The weaner steers, 580 up to 738 cents a kilo for those lighter weight calves, mainly black calves reach those prices, while heifers return rates are 430 to 618 cents a kilo, depending on quality. Grown steers under 500 kilos, 404 to 556 cents a kilo, and the big boys return 400 to 428 cents a kilo. In the heifer department this week, heifers under 540 kilos, 300 to 476 cents, and heavier heifers, 386 to 394. The market probably softened at the back end of the market. Heavy cows, those good heavy cows this week, 260 to 2 to 384 in a real buoyant market. Store cows, the processors, 240 to 264. Restockers, 220 to 316 on those store cows, those young store cows. Heavy bulls, 290 to 376, depending on weight and quality. And lighter bullies, 380 to 450 cents a kilo. And what I said, yeah, in a overall very good market, Troy.
Yeah, no, still going A-OK pretty much at this time of year, mate.
Absolutely. Especially on those weaned steer calves and weaned heifer calves, and blacks, really well chased, yeah.
Plenty of buyers out there yesterday, mate?
A really good selection across the board, probably more than last week, yeah.
Okay, all right. So another busy day for you in the office, mate, out and about?
Yeah. And then I've got a little meeting in town in Bunbury this morning, so yeah.
In town?
Full day.
Okay, right.
Coffee.
Yeah, but you're probably at a coffee shop about now, are you?
No. My lovely wife has made me a coffee.
Oh, yeah. Good lady.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Tom, right now to catch up with Tom from Regional Men's Health. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Troy. How you going this morning, mate?
Not too bad for a Friday, mate. But, today you want to chat about sleep with harvest and everything else going on, I suppose, with these busy times, or maybe you're a new parent or something, or maybe you're studying for upcoming exams. It may mean not a lot of us are getting a lot of sleep here, Tom.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I guess it's probably not the most riveting subject, to be honest, talking about sleep. But, like you say, during like sort of busy harvest periods that we're in at the moment, for example, we're probably not getting the normal hours of sleep that we usually would, and possibly getting some sleep deprivation. And look, at Regional Men's Health, we do often talk about how our lifestyle choices, habits and routines do actually make the biggest impact on our health outcomes, sort of rather than those genetic and environmental factors. And look, Troy, I believe sleep is one of those sort of lifestyle routines that needs to be talked about a bit more.
So, Tom, how much sleep do we really need?
Bit of variation depending what research you look at, but 8 hours seems to be the sort of standard amount of sleep recommended a day. But look, that's not true for everyone. So as you'd probably know, infants and toddlers do need the most. They probably sleep about 10 hours a day and then need regular naps during the day. Teenagers, they do need more sleep, sort of that 9 to 11 hours. They're not just lazy when they sleep in. They do definitely need more sleep than adults during that adolescent period. But look, most adults do need that sort of that 7 to 8 hours a night.
All right. So why is sleep so important for us?
Well, look, I believe it's just as important as other lifestyle choices like diet and exercise, for example. We might think it's a bit of a waste of time between work and play, but it really is a biological necessity, Troy. So getting a good night's sleep, as I said, isn't lazy. It's a tool we can use to be more effective and productive men. I believe it's probably the single most effective thing that we can do, you know, to reset our brain and our body. Again, not to dismiss the importance of food and nutrition and good exercise. But I know if I was deprived, for example, deprived of food, exercise or sleep for 24 hours, it's the sleep that would have the biggest impact on my functionality. So we also do know that sleep deprivation can actually kill you faster than food deprivation. So
right?
I think that's saying something, mate.
Wow. So what are some of the other effects, say, having the lack of sleep?
Yeah, well, we obviously know if we don't get quite enough sleep, it can cause drowsiness and irritability. I know I can be a bit of a grumpy bum if I don't get my 8 hours, Troy. But look, it can also cause things like poor concentration, memory loss, and poor attention. So we know these are incredibly important faculties when we're operating heavy machinery, like at harvest,
yeah.
and they're required to really stay safe at work. Look, lack of sleep can also contribute to the development of mental health illnesses such as depression, and also lead to those physical health issues like high blood pressure and heart disease. And look, it can also reduce our testosterone levels if we're not getting the required sleep, mate.
All right. Yeah. So that's the effects of the lack of sleep.
Have
you got any tips for us for, say, getting or having a good night's sleep?
Yeah, you could just get a few tips I'll run through. Like, there's a lot of information out there on how to get a good night's sleep, basically. I'd recommend if anyone wants to learn more to jump onto the Sleep Health Foundation website. But just a couple of things, Troy. The first one, and probably I think this is king, is regularity. If we can go to bed and get up at the same time each day, or endeavour to anyway, that will synchronise our body clock and improve both the quantity and quality of our sleep. We often set an alarm to wake up at a designated time. I reckon we probably need to set an alarm to go to sleep at a designated time as well, mate,
right,
just to keep things consistent and get the rhythm right.
All right. So there's some tips from Tom to get a good night's sleep. What about some takeaways, mate? What can people hearing it right now, what can they take away from what we've just spoken about?
Yeah, look, I think everyone's going to have a sleepless night at some stage. We're all going to have one of those nights where we just toss and turn and can't get to bed. But look, one of the things I would say is if you can't get to sleep, don't just lie in bed. Like, you would never sit at the dinner table waiting to get hungry, mate. So why are we laying in bed waiting to get sleepy? So if you can't get to sleep, just leave the bedroom, do some quiet activities, try not to wake the rest of the household up, obviously.
Yeah.
But just do something to sort of calm us and doesn't stimulate us. And again, I realise not everyone's going to be getting their 8 hours at the moment, particularly the farmers and people working in that business sector. But look, by practising good sleep hygiene, we should be able to better maintain our physical and mental well-being, get the good quality of sleep and stay safe during harvest, Troy.
Does counting sheep still work, mate?
I think it couldn't hurt, mate. It
couldn't hurt. One sheep, two sheep. but no, whatever works for, of course, we're all different, really, aren't we, mate? But so you're more or less saying for school-age children, 9 to 11 hours, and for most adults, up to around 8 hours a night.
Yeah, aim for that 8 hours. Yep, that's it, mate.
All right, mate, I'm off to bed. Mate, as always, nice to chat. We'll do it again soon.
No, thanks for having me, Troy. Stay safe, mate.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
It's always a pleasure when this man's on the other end of the phone. Dan from Sunwise Energy. Morning, mate.
G'day, Troy. How are you today?
Not too bad. Hey, mate, I've been hearing rumours and seen on social media. Are the solar rebates, are they ending?
Yeah, the sky always seems to be falling in when you look at Facebook. They are, you know, it's one miserable thing after another. No, the rebates are not ending.
Okay.
So, what happens, they are getting phased out, is started in 2015.
Right.
Basically, it is getting phased out to be ended in 2030. So we've still got 8 more years of rebates. Effectively, yes, midnight, they will go down by around 10%, but they are certainly not ending. It's not something that should stop you from looking or push you into looking at solar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really not a huge difference.
Yep.
So don't be blackmailed into, you've got to buy now, otherwise you're going to get the rebate. That's not going to happen.
So with that then, when's the best time to get buying? Now?
Well, basically, whenever it's right for you, really.
Okay.
There is very few people that solar is not right for.
Mm.
The people that I do see fall into traps is, you know, you come to me and you got a $100 power bill.
Yep.
And you say, oh, I want the 6.6 because my neighbour's got the 6.6.
Yep.
Well, that's not really right because you're going to be overcapitalising and your return on investment will be a decade to actually pay that off.
Mm.
Where, you know, if you give him a little 2-point whatever, then, you know, you'll get the usual 3-year return on investment and that's fine. And it's a bit the same as batteries. But as I go on, well, you again, you know, the roller coaster is changing all the time. So basically, the technology is always getting better.
Yep.
So you can always sit there and go, oh, should I jump on because it's going to be better next week or not? And you sell these people not actually ever getting on because they just, oh, well, next week it's going to be better. Well, yeah, it is. But you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Does that sort of make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, yeah. So you've travelled just about everywhere around WA, mate. Are you seeing more people turning to solar these days?
No, not more people turning to solar as such.
Yeah.
Me on...
Go on.
From 7am to 7pm, I am flat chat.
Yeah.
So I can't get taken off the ball. Certainly the clientele, their taste is progressing.
Mm.
So crew are looking more at, oh, I want consumption. Oh, I want to be ready for batteries. Or the one which is happening a lot of, and we sold... yesterday I sold 4 battery systems. Like, batteries are... They're really becoming a vogue.
Yeah.
There's a couple of the big boys. We did talk about the Q-Cell last week. A couple of the big boys are coming in with really sharp packages.
Okay.
Like, one of them is actually, and this is something that we didn't talk about off air, which I just come to my head. Q-Cell. SolarEdge. If you own a SolarEdge inverter and, you know, you've even got the normal HD wave, which is not capable of having a battery, if you buy the new SolarEdge battery,
yep,
they will upgrade you to a hybrid inverter free of charge.
Okay.
So that's something which SolarEdge Australia has brought out. So even if, you know, you can go to your supplier that you bought your SolarEdge system off, or preferably come and give us a yellow Sunwise Energy, and free inverter upgrade with a SolarEdge battery.
Can they find out more up at your website, mate?
Yeah, give us a yell on the website, put through an inquiry, and you can get either myself, Michael, or Andrew, one of the solar designers, give you a call, and we can guide through the right way and help you avoid the pitfalls of and the traps of solar.
What's this about solar training, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've got electricians out there in your town that actually want to learn a bit more about solar and want to become Clean Energy Council providers of solar, the Clean Energy Council providers are the ones that actually can claim the rebate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are actually a training house as well. We have an in-house engineer that is a fully qualified trainer who will train you guys up to become either battery, off-grid, or just normal solar. All of our guys are battery and off-grid accredited as well, obviously. Yeah.
There you go there.
Well, absolutely worth it.
Learn from some of the best in WA. Sunwiseenergy.com.au. Off-grid, residential, commercial, batteries, it's all there. So check it out today. Maybe it could be even a Christmas present for somebody. Maybe think outside the square just a little bit and get in contact with the solar energy specialists down in the team there at Sunwise. Mate, always a pleasure to chat. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, and you try, and if we don't chat, have a Merry Christmas saying to the listeners, you know, have a good Chrissy. Hopefully you've had a bumper harvest, and we'll chat in the new year if I in December.
Yeah, there he is, Dan from Sunwise Energy. If you're wanting to know more all about solar, whether it's off-grid, residential, commercial, as we said, or maybe you're after some solar trading, check in with the team there. Sunwise, your solar energy specialist. Check out the website today, sunwiseenergy.com.au. It's Rural Focus for your Friday. Lovely to be having your company right here at Triple M.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Well, we're just about at the end of the year, as we know, and just about at the end for WA schools, of course, the WA College of Agriculture there in Harvey. Well, they've begun a brand new project. The principal, Stephen Watt, has joined me this morning. Principal Watt, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Troy, and your listeners.
How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm well, thank you very much. And you don't need the formality. Watt is absolutely fine.
Hey, mate, tell us, what's this new project that you've got going there at the college?
So what we're doing is, cobbling on to the interest around the place in industry for regenerative agriculture and setting up a demonstration site so that our students can be exposed to the principles of regen ag, along with the conventional ag principles that we apply elsewhere on the farm.
So is this taking in issues like herbicides and soil degradation and all that kind of thing?
So there's a whole range of elements to it. I mean, fundamentally, it's about harnessing natural systems in the soil to benefit plant growth.
Yep.
But it's tied up with soil fertility, as you say. So there's biological activity, there's organic matter, and there's the use of softer chemicals.
Yep.
There's biodiversity of pastures and animal species. And they sort of all work together in an ecosystem to make the whole system work better.
Is it important for the college to expose the kids this way?
Oh, without a doubt. So, you know, our job is to expose students to a number of different systems and then allow them to make up their own mind. So it's not about pushing anything down their throats.
No.
But the way we will approach this is very much an objective, you know, measured approach. So we'll be taking data and measuring the effectiveness of the different systems and comparing our regen ag sites with our conventional ag sites. And so taking a very much a scientific approach to it rather than an idealistic approach.
What's the feedback been by the kids, mate?
Yeah, very positive.
Yeah,
so we've got, you know, young people nowadays are very much conscious of the environment and, you know, keen to be seen to be doing the right thing. And so I've got a lot of interest in how we might better prepare and protect our land here.
And I suppose too, Steve, the kids are on off farms anyway, so farms are moving in that way anyway.
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, really, what, you know, regen ag is using principles that have been around for, you know, hundreds of years so it's not as if it's anything new. But, again, you know, getting back to your comment about kids off farms, a lot of our kids don't come from farms, but they're going to go working in agriculture anyway. So, yeah, most certainly. This is, you know, I'd like to think some of these principles are what they're going to see out in industry. And I guess, again, if we can expose them to some different ideas, then they make up their own mind about which way they want to go.
And it will benefit them going forward.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Most certainly. And I suppose the other thing too, you know, it's about creating a bit of an inquiry approach so students can actually question and then take some measurements and look at some data and, you know, run some trials to actually prove one way or another. So it's not just taking blind stabs. It's
an
objective measured approach.
So has this started there at the college, Stephen? Or?
Yep. So we're starting with some soil testing. I mean, we've been using some of the principles for quite some time.
Right.
So one of it's about mineral fertilisers.
Yep.
So I think of it a bit like, you know, with our own health, we have probiotics and we have prebiotics.
Yep.
So probiotics are the introducing beneficial microbes, and the prebiotics are the sorts of things you do to the environment to actually make it better for the microbes.
Yeah.
So we've been doing some of that work for quite some time now with different fertilisers we've been using, and it's about being systematic about how we measure it. So we're starting with some the paddocks we've got chosen. We're starting with some soil testing this year, and that will then determine the nutrient needs and the current biological activity. That forms a bit of a baseline, and from there we can reseed paddocks and apply, you know, different principles and then measure their impact over time.
Are you the only College of Agriculture in WA to do this?
Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, I would imagine not. I mean, this is pretty current sort of thinking across lots of different farming systems.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Great initiative, mate. And as you say, the teachers are behind it. The kids are behind it. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, indeed. Why not?
All right. Principal Stephen Watt from the WA College of Agriculture there in Harvey. Mate, all the best with it. And enjoy the rest of the next few weeks.
A few weeks, yeah. Good on you. Righto.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Pete from Chester Brown Industries. Good morning.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
Not bad, mate. How's that post puller going for you?
Well, it's doing quite nicely at the moment. It's just ticking over. It's not racing out the door, but there is a steady little flow of them going around the place at the moment. So that's good, considering we're in the midst of harvest.
Would that be sort of one thing sort of causing it not to sort of fly out the door, mate?
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people hear about it now, but they're all busy getting their crop off because of their rain events around and et cetera, et cetera. So if I was them, that's exactly what I'd be concentrating on, well, getting the money in the bank.
Exactly. Now, I hear, mate, you've got a bit of an update on the post puller. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, we've sort of gone at the next step.
Yep.
It came about from a contractor in Queensland that bought one of our post pullers, and he was asking whether or not we could automate it to a certain degree. So what we've done is put a linear actuator into the post puller so that he's got a switch in the cab. It's only 12 volt. He can have 12 or 20 volt, but he's got a little switch in the cab.
Okay.
He simply hits the toggle and opens it up. Someone outside doesn't have to do any lifting. He's guided onto the post. He shuts the thing and pulls the post out and then opens the jaws up and the post drops out. How easy is that?
Now, for those people who are thinking, oh, what are they talking about here, a puller? Just talk us through, what is a post puller?
Well, the post puller is specifically designed with the purpose cut jaws so that we don't damage the post in any way, shape or form. And it's simply for removing posts out of the ground. And the advantage of this one is it doesn't matter how hard the ground is or anything else like that, it doesn't damage the post on the way out. It's a big saving in itself.
Fantastic. Now, where can people get your post puller from, Pete?
Any nutrient outlet, and that goes for Australia wide. So every DC around the country now have stock in their warehouse. people just simply have to get in touch with their local nutrient outlets, wherever they may be, and they can order it in from the warehouse for them.
All right, so go ahead and do that. So, yeah, not just for the farmers here in WA, but, yeah, for those farmers over on the East Coast too. If you're doing your fences, check it out today. Get into your local nutrient store and get yourself a post puller or three, maybe buy one for Christmas, Pete.
Sounds good to me.
Hey?
I'm more than happy to stay back and get them ready for them.
Why not, too? We'll post one out for you tomorrow. What else is happening, mate, at Chester Brown Industries?
Well, we're basically just concentrating on the marketing side of things at the moment, and that's getting it's a bit of a project. So there's nearly 400 stores around the country. So we're in the throes of doing that at the moment and touching base with them all, and just let them know that the product's there and available for those who haven't actually had one on their doorstep at this stage. But we're looking for some feedback from our contractor in Queensland. The amount of rain they got over there, they must have pulled them out by hand at the moment.
Exactly. So,
But he's just waiting for the soil to dry out and all the rest. But he's having some very good results with it, and even the shorter posts than that, because they use a hydraulic rammer if they tend to bend them a bit. But he needs to pull them out because they're not in the right spot or won't go in deep enough. It actually straightens them out before they come out of the ground. So. Yeah. Just go back to reuse them.
What's the best way to find out more about the post puller? Is it to get in contact with you or go and see their local nutrient store? Or what's the best way here, Pete?
Best way is just go and see your local nutrient store. Okay. If the store's a little mystified, wasn't quite aware of it in there, it's just, it's CBI PP001, and it'll show up in their system for them.
There you go. Anything else from you this morning, mate?
No, I think we're just looking forward to some more fencing happening around the area. You've got to feel a bit sorry for the guys over east. They're mostly fencing all for the wrong reasons because it got washed away or something like that. But we'll keep plugging on, and, hopefully the weather stays fair for all those getting their crop off.
Yeah, let's hope so. Pete from Chester Brown Industries. Hey, mate, always nice to chat. Have a great day, mate. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks very much, Troy. You have a good day.
And that wraps up another edition of the Rural Focus podcast. Hey, thank you for your time again today. Hey, don't forget, too, if you'd like to be a part of the radio show, don't forget that does happen weekly, 9 to 11 on Triple M. 1-3-3-5 through the telephone number. But the best way to get us, 0-4-800-97-400, Texas. Just say, hi, Troy there at Rural Focus, and just tell us your message. Could be about harvest, could be about fertiliser prices, wool prices, whatever it could be. Just text us 04800 97400. And don't forget too about the wonderful Rural Focus photo competition. We're after your harvest picks, and to those people who have already posted photos up to the Rural Focus Facebook page, hey, thank you. There's some amazing photos. If you haven't done so, check it out today, the Rural Focus Facebook page. And those people have got themselves into that major prize of that Honda UMK425 four-stroke loop handle brush cutter, valued over $500, thanks to Eddie and the team there at the Honda shop in Midland. You'll find them just off Morrison Road there if you're heading to the Perth metro area. But, some wonderful picks. If you haven't checked it out yet, check it out right now. Just go to the Rural Focus Facebook page. This has been Troy Stockton. I'll be back again very soon with another Rural Focus podcast right here on the Listener app.